Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, everyone. This is Steve Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report. Lance Wallnau is the leader who was very vocal during the last election about the fact he believed that God was raising up Donald Trump to be like Cyrus. I was able to sit down with him recently in Washington, D.C., after we had both attended kind of a brainstorming meeting of Christian leaders about the direction our country was going, and I talked to him about some issues that I think would be very important to my listeners. Now, if you've been listening to my podcast long, you know that during the election, I did several podcasts with Lance. They were always the ones that had the most downloads. They just really caught people's imagination and people passed them around. And I think that you'll be interested in this too. The first of the two podcasts has to do with the concept of common grace. Lance talked about this. I wrote about it in my book, God and Donald Trump. We also wrote about it in Charisma Magazine. And I asked him to articulate it and to talk about it as it relates to Christian involvement in politics. We went to a lot of interesting places. We talked about Jimmy Carter. We talked about Ronald Reagan. We talked about the Seven Mountains. And I think that you will find it very interesting. And also, he challenges Christian leaders and prophets on what they should really be doing. So stay tuned after this word, and I think you'll really enjoy my interview with Lance Wallnau.
Regent University is one of the fastest growing universities in the nation, experiencing 21% growth from summer 2016 to summer 2017. This fully accredited university offers associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees within an innovative learning environment that includes the option of enrolling solely on campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, 100% online, or using a blend of both. Since its establishment in 1978, Regent has equipped 23,000 alumni from 125 countries to become accomplished professionals. Guided by a mission of Christian leadership to change the world, the school prepares students with the knowledge to excel and the faith to live with purpose. To learn more or request information, visit www.learn.regent.edu. That's www.learn.regent.edu.
Well, I'm talking to Lance Wallnau, who is always very popular on my podcast. My very highest rated podcasts are with you.
Yes. Well, I think it was the subject. It wasn't me.
That's right, because we were talking mostly about President Donald Trump or
candidate Donald Trump.
Yep. And you had some very interesting insights, which I included in my book, God and Donald Trump, especially about things like common grace. Right. And that's something that really applied in this case. But why don't you elaborate on it a little bit, because it's not something we really talk about very much in the body of Christ.
Well, you know, every election, and especially with Donald Trump, what's the one thing Christians all want to know? Is he a Christian? Is she a Christian? It's as though we want to know the person's a Christian. We don't even want to know what their beliefs are. And it's kind of like, I think it's a sad commentary on us. Because the first election that I remember being excited about seeing God in politics, and it was funny, it was Pat Robertson, of all things, on the 700 Club. I'm listening to him when I was in college. Well, we have a Georgia candidate who says he's born again, running for president, Jimmy Carter. And I remember the term born again was being used by Jimmy Carter and Pat Robertson, and everybody's applauding on the 700 Club. We were all naive. He was, too, at that time. Thinking a born-again president.
Well, we thought he was a nice Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher.
Sure.
And he probably was at some point, but of course he's become more and more liberal as the years have passed and had a horrible presidency in terms of just all the problems of the country and the inflation and, you know, the Iran hostages and so forth.
Oh, it's a mess. Double-digit inflation. There's people, this was a little bit young for some of those folks that are my age. You got to go back and remember this. There were lines around the block with, because it was the energy crisis too. Mm-hmm. So we had oil embargoes. But God was engaging the church for the first time in open articulation of evangelicals and Christians are part of the political process, because after that comes Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan becomes the first guy that actually unifies, in a sense, Christians behind him. And for those of you that don't follow politics, you've got to learn to do this. I've been involved with teaching on seven mountains of culture for 10 years because the Great Commission has to do with going into all the world. And we're so naive if we think that evangelism and, you know, phenomena of answered prayer and revival stuff is actually the main action. The main action is happening in what the dominant subject is on the mind of the population around you, and that's based on news media and entertainment and politics and current events. So we got to be relevant to that stuff. And I look at the politics, and I started to realize, you know something? I made an artificial separation in my head between politics and the kingdom of God. I didn't think for a moment that the worldview of a Christian has to be lived out somehow within the governmental sphere, and we ought to have a clear worldview. Most Christians don't have a clear worldview on that. I mean, is that your sense?
I agree with you entirely. Where did you come to understand this concept of common grace?
Oh, is that what you were talking about? That's right, the common grace. Okay, thank God one of us is paying attention. The common grace is, so I'm looking at the Jimmy Carter, first born-again president. He was a disaster, in my opinion. Ronald Reagan comes along, courts the evangelicals. He's divorced and remarried. And boy, was he getting hit because of that issue. Jerry Falwell stood behind him. And as time goes by, I'm reading Chuck Colson. And Colson's getting me thinking about a greater conversation about Francis Schaeffer, Chuck Colson. A lot of Pentecostals don't. Our problem is we're so infatuated with the supernatural, we don't develop our brain. But God wants you to love him with all your mind as well as all your anointing. So I started reading Francis Schaeffer. I started reading Chuck Colson. And Chuck Colson talked about the Reformation. And when God moved in Europe, whole cities were suddenly converted from Catholicism to Protestantism. And the reformers had a problem. And the problem was that the mayors were coming to them and saying, we've got a whole lot of people that expect us to be doing a biblically based reformed city like Geneva. And we don't even know what's involved with that. You guys are the reformers. Tell us what it is. And reformers had to make a decision. Should they get involved with politics? It's an interesting thing. The city's converted. Should they? They're preachers. But they came to the conclusion that there's a grace of God on secular leaders. And that grace isn't the grace of salvation, because the people don't know Jesus by being born again. But it's the grace of common grace. That's a grace common to all men that comes upon human beings to restrain evil. So this is what the judge does, the policeman does, the governor does, the ruler. Even Paul talks about the purpose of government is to like restrain the lawlessness. So the reformers said common grace is the grace that God puts upon humanity so that even unsaved people have an inclination to do justice and to suppress anarchy. And so without government, we would have anarchy. So common grace is the grace that comes upon a secular leader. Now go back to Reagan. Was he born again? Probably. Who knows? Margaret Thatcher, Winston Churchill, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt. I'll tell you this. I don't put Hitler, Stalin, and Mao in the same category as Roosevelt, Churchill, or Lincoln. I don't know if these guys were saved, but I could tell you that in the course of their life, the common grace of God was on them to make them a righteous ruler. And that's the grace that we saw in Donald Trump, while Christians all wanted him to be born again.
And all of these people you name saved something. Lincoln saved the Union. Churchill saved England.
Come on.
And who else did you name?
And Margaret Thatcher basically saved England from economic ruin. She revitalized it in the same way that Reagan revitalized America. And so the Judeo-Christian heritage of Europe and the United States was salvaged by a woman with Thatcher and a man in Reagan, neither who campaigned as the born-again candidate like a Jimmy Carter, who ended up being a disaster, although I don't doubt he's born again.
Let me ask you what you think is going to happen in the future, because it was widely known that you were the guy that was saying God was raising him up like Cyrus. We even talked about it in a podcast once, and of course there was an article in Charisma Magazine and in other forums as well. You probably didn't really prophesy he was going to win in the same way that maybe Chuck Pierce did.
Well, what did Chuck say?
He said that God was going to play a trump card.
He wasn't even right. So here's the thing that gets me crazy about prophets. I spent a year out there advocating for Donald. You know, you were a Cruz guy.
Yeah.
All my friends were. Because the logical choice would be a conservative Christian. Especially because Cruz's father even teaches Seven Mountains, which is like my brainchild. So Marco Rubio had his Hispanic leaders that said he's a good evangelical Catholic, etc. Santorum, great born-again Catholic. I said, I think it's the heathen. I think it's Donald Trump. You know why? Because the Lord told me that the 45th president would be an Isaiah 45 guy. It's a Cyrus, though he knows me not. I've anointed him. I'm going to stick with Trump. So the challenge was watching the Christians. Many of the prophets were with the other guys. They weren't with Trump. You know why I know that? Because it was lonely out there, Steve, from 2015 all the way through to 2016. And then, I take nothing away from Chuck or anyone, but because they talk about the Trump card, to me, when I heard it, it was code language that, oh, he's a believer. But it's the difference between saying Trump card in veiled speech and saying Donald Trump is the guy that you've got to elect. Because I fought alone until the last man was standing, and it was just Trump. And I took a beating. I mean, I had people tell me, you're going to wipe your ministry out if you're wrong. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll wipe my ministry out, but I believe I've heard God.
And I believe you heard God, too. There were others that were prophesying it.
Yes.
Mark Taylor, the retired fireman.
2012.
He very specifically said that Donald Trump would be elected. And he's prophesied some really pretty extreme things about what's going to happen during his presidency.
What has he said?
Well, you can read it in his book, Trump Prophecies, but the thing that sticks in my mind is that he said Trump is going to appoint 5 Supreme Court justices. And he went on the record with it, which I say God bless him for going on the record. Frank Media, who's not nearly as well known as some of the rest of you guys.
Frank's a great guy.
He was going around. He said it for sure. He said he will be the next president of the United States. Chuck told me and my wife in 2008 over dinner that Obama was going to be elected twice, which we did not like hearing. And of course, it turned out right. He did, as time passed, he realized that God was talking about Donald Trump and that God was raising him up. And I think when he ran for president, he was saying, he doesn't trumpet it in the same way that you do. But I documented these prophecies because I thought it needed to be on the record, you know, partly to, well, not partly, entirely to give God the glory.
Right.
It's like we were praying, God, do something. And God answered our prayers in a way we didn't expect with a person we didn't even necessarily like. Isn't that how God usually does things?
And just to be clear, because Chuck's a friend of mine, Chuck did nail it with Donald Trump. So I was there celebrating with him when after the election. But there's a difference between our community so fixates on the predictive word of knowledge that we forget the greater obligation of the prophet is to be an advocate for that which God shows them. And we not only have to be prophets that are able to say, this will happen, but we have to be able to give a reason for the hope that is in us also, which means that if God shows us something, we should identify with the controversy when it's unpopular and stand with it and not simply just predict it before the final inning because we knew it. We have to risk the scandal of the future that God wants to manifest.
And also prophets also are to speak about righteousness, to call out sin, to speak to authority.
Right.
And there are only a few leaders that kind of have that role in our country. But with Trump's Evangelical Faith Advisory Board, he is opening himself up to listen to Christian leaders, isn't he?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, he is more receptive to Christian leadership in the White House than any president in the history of the United States, which I think he doesn't even get credit for, but he actually, unlike, for instance, I had friends of mine that were in the Nixon and Bush administrations who they would simply give photo ops to evangelicals visiting the White House, and that was satisfactory. Our people are actually agenda-driven. Our people are concerned about America, and Trump gets that. So they have issues, and he talks to them about what's on their heart and their mind, and he welcomes them into the White House to pray with him. And I know for a fact that there are rulers of other countries who I've talked to some of their staff and people related to them who envy the fact that Donald Trump has such a dedicated constituency as the evangelicals who are supporting him and believe in him and pray for him. And they look at that as a kind of like a whole new trend potentially politically, that it's not a detriment to identify yourself with a religious group in a democracy, but they'd actually, in Trump's case, it didn't hurt him at all.
What do you think is going to happen in the next 3 years of Trump's first tenure in office, and do you think he'll be reelected?
Well, you know, I wonder how many Christians actually are thinking about November of next year, because it takes so much energy. It always amazes me that they'll, and everybody involved with politics knows this, nobody really cares about the election until like Labor Day. So here you've got something which everyone, like people like us, care about all year. The rest of the country isn't paying attention to politics till what, 2 months before the election? This is a sad commentary, but it's true. So the data on Trump was that, we were just talking to George Barna, you and I, that it was a group called Spiritually Active, Governmentally Engaged Conservatives, 25 million of them, sage cons, who at the last minute really broke statistically so strongly in favor of Trump that it's a Christian move of God. 90% showed up in the polls voting for him. Now, I'm saying that because this data didn't show up in September or October. It showed up literally as prayer was being made, and Christians wrestled with this sense of urgency that they have to do something. And even if they held their nose going in, they did what they felt they had to do. Not everybody was enthusiastic about Trump, but they knew they had to do it. The fact is, if we don't have a similar sense of urgency going into November next year, the naivety and the lack of information in the Christian communities regarding the spiritual warfare in America is enough to almost subject you to a spirit of depression. Because the Democrat Party, they don't vote like we do, half for, half against. They're all in unity, and they're in unity against. There's a unity to impeach Donald Trump. There's a unity to overthrow the will of the people in electing Trump. And they are desperate. This Mueller investigation, as you know, is based upon a dossier that we now found out was paid for by millions of dollars of Clinton money in order to plant something fake, which even establishment Republicans passed on to Comey and the FBI. In other words, we have a whole investigation based on a Russian collusion that never happened, and they're trying to catch the president on interfering with the investigation. If they succeed in doing that, and we do not show up in November, Stephen, that means that they will have a Congress. Typically in midterms, the president loses seats. He'll lose in the Senate or he'll lose in the House, and they'll start to advance impeachment. They'll never get impeachment of Trump. But the sheer mudstain of having criminal allegations against him moving into 2020 is what the Democrats want to do. They want to be able to block his agenda. 170 court seats are available right now. The lethargic, dysfunctional Republican Party can't move. Even though they've got the votes, they can't move quickly and fill those seats. Why are they dragging their, as powerful as courts are, they're dragging their feet. They'll drag them all the way through the midterms. Why? This is enough to make you go crazy if you think about it. It's because they're not even enthusiastic about Donald Trump. If Christians are not...
Well, they're part of the problem, and this has been going on for years. It was just that we maybe didn't recognize it in the way we do now. Isn't it what we call the deep state?
Yeah.
Of where people are entrenched in power. They want to hang on to their power at all costs. And the system is more important than their principles.
Absolutely. And here's what I believe. Here's my prediction, which I'm saying this so that you can know. A president never wins his midterms. When he goes in, usually it's the opposite party. It's like some kind of an equilibrium sets in. The Republican goes in, the Democrats will take the House, the Senate. When Obama went in, the Republicans went in. So this is, we've got a Republican and Democrat should be taking seats. We can't afford to give up a seat because the country is so polarized and it's such a demonic warfare that to polarize is to literally allow, it's like having terrorists in your neighborhood. They'll try to take this president out. However, in spite of that, I believe the church is going to awaken. I get mail like anybody else. Lance, you're departing from your calling. You're getting too involved. And I personally think that a whole lot of Christians have departed from their calling because they're not involved. And so I'm saying sound the alarm, because we have to, America can have a season of reformation or just a reprieve from judgment. If it's a reprieve from judgment, it's only because we were too lethargic or dull to seize the moment when God said, I'm giving you the nation. So I'm going to believe that God's going to continue to awaken us to engagement, civically, politically, in media, in arts, in all these areas. I believe Donald Trump's going to be the first president who will pick up seats instead of losing. I think he's going to pick them up in the Congress, and he's going to pick them up in the Senate. I believe a move of God is still underfoot. And I think guys like you and guys like me, Chuck and Pierce and other prophets, I think we're going to continue to agitate for an awakening, and we're going to see these structures come down. If we don't, then Donald Trump in November will see the momentum of a reformation and a reviving of America blocked by the lack of vigilance of his own people, God's people, to respond to the window he gave them.
Lance Wallnau is always one of the most interesting people I get to interview, and I know that you enjoyed this podcast. There's going to be another podcast about the significance of Donald Trump moving the embassy of the United States from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He announced it on December 6th. That was the exact date I talked to Lance Wallnau, and I think you'll want to tune in to that podcast as well. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report. I'm Steve Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.